Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Let's talk a little football, shall we? Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. One thing I do want to discuss, too, is if we're going to be ready for spring football. I think the NFL, there'll be a version of it, at least, played in the fall. I don't know about college, though. Ivy League looks like they're going to play in the spring. And it just seems like we've always been adverse to football in the spring. XFL, I'm a big XFL guy, you know that. And I certainly did raid Dick's Sporting Goods when they had everything for like $3 an item. But I don't know, spring football just doesn't seem to work. We'll see your thoughts on that if it does have to go down this year in the NFL, college, otherwise, we'll find out from you guys. Bart Winkler, again, along with Sam Schmitz, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, here on The Fan. Just wrote an article about the 15 guys that have the most to prove in 2020. One of those guys being a member of the Packers secondary. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Sam, appreciate a few minutes from you. How are you today?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Good. Before we get to the article and talk about the Packers secondary and some of these other guys, I just want to ask you if you think we are going to be into the same sort of mode with the NFL that we were with the MLB for so long, and that's talking about money and how are these guys going to get paid? Because the NFL, for the longest time, they had time. They were still able to do their draft. They were still able to do free agency. But now it's, you know, the first week of June here, or second week of July, I should say. Wow, okay, time flies. Second week of July, and there's still no mini camps, no workouts, no training camps. We could see no preseason. What are the odds, do you think, right now that this season is going to start as it's scheduled?
Yeah, they're definitely running out of time for the first time. You know, the deadlines are becoming a factor in a way they haven't been for the NFL basically since this started. But I think the advantage they have over most of the other leagues that have been affected is they're not, I don't think they're in major danger yet of missing a chunk of the season. You know, they didn't have a season interrupted. They're not talking about losing games other than preseason. They're having a sort of, the plan right now is regularly scheduled programming in terms of payments, in terms of the games that are actually scheduled to play, at which point that is not a massive hiccup to everybody getting paid. You know, everybody should be getting what they're scheduled to be salaried for. So at that point, I think the money should resolve itself. I know they're, you know, proposing a few different things and trying to sort of keep their options open and keep protected. But I think ultimately the money side of things will be resolved better than it was with MLB or with some of these other things. And then it's a case of just seeing how this unfolds. I think they're going to attempt, you know, a relatively normal looking season, preseason and training camp apart. The regular season, I think, is going to be going ahead pretty much as scheduled. And then we'll sort of see, you know, how we'll see how things unfold, whether they're able to bubble all these teams and keep this thing under wraps and keep on trucking, or whether there's going to be, you know, spikes of this infection and that causes problems.
The preseason is such a, you know, it's such a back and forth thing, at least with my opinions on it, because, you know, it is needed. I mean, you do need it. You got to figure out who's going to be on your team, and you got to play other teams. And kudos to the NFL for at least marketing that and having people come to watch those games like it's, you know, a real product. I've always, you know, it's August, you ramp up, you get the preseason, you know, the games are on at different times. You can maybe, you know, go to the bar and watch the game, but not be too interested in you know, the actual outcome of the game. And it gives these chance, you know, it gives these guys a chance to make a roster. And yes, there's some injuries and that part of it sucks, but I think the preseason has always been a very important part of the NFL. Now, you don't need six games like they used to have. I'm not sure you need four, but I think you need at least one. And if they're not going to have a preseason at all, do you expect the first month of the season, assuming that goes on as planned, to be sloppy, or will it not affect guys too much?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit sloppy. Plus, you know, added to the fact that we might not have regular training camps as well. So I think all of that together is going to cause some sort of sloppy football over the first month. I think preseason generally has become less and less important over the years. I like the initial proposal where they were basically dumping two preseason games that have effectively become meaningless anyway. You know, I know people point to the idea that guys make rosters off these games, the guys that are third and fourth on the depth chart, you know, have big games in the first and the fourth preseason. But less and less, I think that's actually keeping guys on rosters anymore. I've seen so many people in recent years have big games in those games, but whatever has happened in training camp already has already sealed that guy's fate. You know, they're not making the roster. Teams are already making those decisions based off what they've seen in camp, not what they're seeing in preseason games. So I think you could easily lose two preseason games and not miss anything, and then the other two become, you know, half of a warm up for the first teams, and then half of an audition for the second and third team guys. I think if you lost them all entirely, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Particularly the way the landscape is right now with COVID and all those kind of things. But I do think you would miss something. I think it's useful to have at least one or two warm up games.
Talking NFL with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. You can follow him, PFF_Sam. Did want to get your thoughts on the Patrick Mahomes deal. Richest athlete contract really ever. 10 years they lock him up for, in addition to the two that they had him. Is this a win-win on both sides, or did one side, Mahomes or the Chiefs, come out on the better end?
I really do think it's win-win. I know a lot of people are trying to hammer it certainly from a home side, you know, the idea that he could have got more money. But at the point where you're banking, you know, $500 million, does it matter that you could have got $600 million instead of $500 million? You know, the way this deal is structured, it is practically almost all guaranteed. The Chiefs at any point in this deal would have to eat an absolute monster amount of money to get out from under it and to get rid of Mahomes, which is only going to happen if he has like a career-ending injury at some point, or if for some reason he completely falls off a cliff in terms of play and he just isn't the same player again, which seems unlikely. So it seems extremely likely that he's going to earn every dollar on this contract, if not renegotiate it later and get more money, at which point from his point of view, it's not a bad deal. He's going to make $500 million over the next decade. And for the Chiefs' point of view, they have certainty. They know what they're going to be paying their quarterback for the next 12 years at this point. They can structure everything around that. And I don't think it's so onerous that it's going to, you know, cripple them from a salary cap management point of view. They know what they're dealing with. They've known it for a while now, and they've kind of been structuring things around it. And Mahomes is so good that you don't need to create, you know, you don't need to create an amazing team around him. You know that if you just give him enough, he's able to do spectacular things and make it happen. So, yeah, I think that's win-win, to be honest.
Yeah, there's all these arguments that, well, once you pay a quarterback $30-plus million, you're punting your chances at a Super Bowl. But, okay, if you're the Chiefs, you can't let Patrick Mahomes walk away. This guy is so good, so fast, so young that they'll find a way to build a team around him. It's Patrick Mahomes, Sam.
Right, and it's not like the Chiefs had the best roster last season. You know, the Chiefs, I don't think, were anywhere near the best roster in the NFL, but they had Patrick Mahomes, who papers over a lot of cracks. So if you take last season's Kansas City team and pay Mahomes $35, $40 million, it doesn't change anything. Like, he's still good enough to paper over the weaknesses on the roster, I don't think they're going to be hampered from assembling a roster as good as last season's was around him. And last season's is all you need for him to, you know, him to do the rest and take them to a Super Bowl.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. He's got an article up at Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. 15 NFL players entering prove it years. And anytime I see an article like this, I do Control F and type in Green Bay Packers and see if there's anyone on that list. And there is. And it's Jaire Alexander. And I do feel like the secondary, you know, I am a little concerned about the Packers secondary. I feel like the last couple of years, and Jaire's one of these guys too, they start off so good. And it's like, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler. Oh, my God, he could be an All-Pro guy. But then towards the end of the season, things kind of ease up a bit. What specifically about Jaire do you need to see from him that he hasn't provided the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, and I was with you. I bought into Jaire after 3 weeks of the season. You know, he had an incredible start, Chicago, Minnesota, Denver, two pass breakups in each of those games, had really, really good showings, graded really well. And after that 3 weeks, I wrote that he was like the next great young cornerback. And then things kind of fell away over the rest of the year. And I think he's got the talent. He's got the ability. He has all of the tools to be a Stephon Gilmore, to be a difference maker, a true number one shutdown corner. But right now, the difference between him and guys like Gilmore or Tre'Davious White or, you know, any of these other top cornerbacks in the NFL is those guys don't have the sort of bad games. They don't get beat the way Jaire does sometimes. You know, he had a game last season where he gave up 200 receiving yards. He had another one where he gave up like 130. I mean, Richard Sherman went the better part of 10 years without giving up 100 receiving yards. Those top cornerbacks in the NFL just don't get beaten that way. And Jaire, I think, just needs to eliminate those bad beats from his game. You know, he gave up 5 touchdowns and over 700 yards last season. Again, those top corners just don't get beaten that much. So for all the good he does, he just needs to find a way of consistently eliminating the bad that's offsetting some of that.
I think the potential for the Packers secondary is very high. I think the ceiling's very high with Jaire. And, you know, I'm still trying to believe in Kevin King. And Darnell Savage was another guy who started off very good to start the season. And then, you know, there were some injuries, but then also struggled a little bit. Adrian Amos back in there. There's some guys that they like behind that with Chandon Sullivan, maybe Raven Green. Are they, I don't know if I'd throw them as a top 10 secondary. Are they close to that at least? Where do you rank the Packers secondary off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think they can be. You made the point that it's all potential. I think that's always tricky when you in terms of ranking guys, because the range of outcomes for this secondary, I think, is so broad. You know, they can be a top 10 secondary. Jaire, you know, eliminates some of the bad from his game. He takes a step forward and becomes a true number one corner, a true shutdown guy. Darnell Savage takes a step forward. I think Adrian Amos is one of the most underrated players in the NFL because he's safe. You know, he embodies the position. He doesn't do anything dramatic, but he doesn't get beaten very often. He does his job and does it pretty well most of the time, and that flies under the radar with a lot of people. And then the only question mark becomes that number two corner spot, whether it's Kevin King taking a step forward, whether it's Josh Jackson realizing the potential that we saw in him from his college tape. But the potential is there for that unit to be a top 10 group in the NFL. But because it's all potential, they could easily be a bottom third group as well. You know, if none of those things happen, and if they continue to just flash the ability to be good or to grade well, then they're not going to be one of the top secondaries in the NFL. They're going to be, you know, a bottom half group.
Right, look at Josh Jackson, drafted second round a couple of years ago to Iowa. A lot of hope for him, but he hasn't lived up to that potential yet in the Packers secondary. Sam Monson joining us. Just a couple more guys I wanted to ask you about here that you put on your top 15 list of people entering prove it years in 2020. How do you think the Cam Newton New England Patriot matchup goes down?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by how they meld those two things. I think we might even see sort of two different offenses. I think early in the season, we'll see Cam Newton running this sort of conventional drop-back passer, you know, usual offense that something like what the Patriots have run for years. And then late in the season, you know, when we get to December and when we get to crunch time and the Patriots are shooting for that playoff run, we'll see them start to fold in everything he can do in the run game, you know, and those QB power plays that he's run throughout his career in Carolina that just make him different from any other quarterback we've ever seen. But I think using him that way all the way through the season right now would just be risky, because we've seen those take a toll on his body and take a toll on him physically. And even when he plays, you know, he plays through these injuries and he's just not the same guy. So I think we might see them kind of protect him early in the year and then unleash the full spectrum of what he can do as a quarterback later on the season. But, you know, Cam Newton is an MVP caliber quarterback at his best. Now, that 2015 season is looking more and more like an outlier to his sort of baseline rather than his true ability or his true potential or the likely outcome that you're going to get from him. But he has that ability in him. So if you can get anywhere near that, you know, it's a colossal upgrade over what they could have gotten from Jarrett Stidham.
I was high on the Browns last year. I was not embarrassed about it. I'm going to be high on them again this year. Baker and Odell both on your list. Where are you on Cleveland?
Yeah, I think for the same for basically that reason, I the same thing was true. We were really high on Cleveland last season. I think they made a lot of smart moves, a lot of good moves, and then none of it worked. It all fell to pieces, and they had to sort of blow it up and start over again. And this offseason for them has been all about eliminating variables and getting rid of potential things that were wrong and shifting all the focus now back on Baker Mayfield. And it's, you know, the offensive line was bad last season, so they went hard on the tackle position and free agency and the draft. They bring in a new system, a new head coach with an offense that has a track record of functioning and doing well by its quarterbacks. You pay big money for a guy like Austin Hooper so you can run these two tight end sets. So everything has been about, okay, now Baker Mayfield, you have no more excuses. Now you're set up to succeed as opposed to last season where you were potentially set up to fail. So now we have to see it from him, and we have to see it from Odell as well, because those two just weren't on the same page at any point last season. And I know, you know, Beckham was fighting through a sports hernia all season long and wasn't the player that he should have been physically, but there were so many plays where they were just on different pages. They couldn't communicate correctly, and you know, one guy was running a post, the other guy was throwing the dig, and I've never seen a quarterback and wide receiver be so consistently on different pages. And that's not a physical thing. That's just, you know, that's whether it's tape study, whether it's just mental processing after the snap, those two guys need to get on the same page and need to align as that top quarterback to wide receiver connection that we thought they would be.
Love the insight, Sam. It's always good to chat with you. PFF.com, PFF underscore Sam, Sam Monson. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
Sam Monson joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Really good voice over there at Pro Football Focus. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Well, they were the leaders when it came to shutting down college basketball. Will they be the leaders when it comes to shutting down college football? Why the football world suddenly cares about the Ivy League. Next. 105.7 FM, the Fan, Bart Winkler. Sam Schmitz. The football world is on the Ivy League today. All eyes are. It is expected that they are going to postpone their football season until the spring. Now, this doesn't affect really the D1 schools, but it could be a determination of what D1 schools are going to do. The Ivy League was the first team. They were playing their basketball tournament, and they said, you know what? Nah. We'll just have our regular season champion be the one to represent us in March Madness. We're not going to have a tournament. All right. Well, clearly the pandemic has lasted longer than 1 week, so there was no March Madness tournament. And there hasn't been a lot of anything since. But they were the first ones to do that, and now it looks like they're going to be the first ones from a football standpoint, or at least all fall sports. Let's be an equal opportunity employer here. They may be the first ones to postpone it to the spring. I don't know if we'll see other conferences follow suit. You know, we've been joking that all conferences could shut down, but the SEC will still play. Well, okay, you can't have the SEC just play and then, like, if the Pac-12 shuts down and the Ivy League shuts down and the Pac-12 goes to the spring, what are you going to do in December? Are you going to have a college football champion? Or are you going to have like three conferences play in the fall and then three play in the spring and then the title game on April 15th? It's just going to be weird. And I think that they all have to decide together. So if one of the Power Five schools does this, then it's really going to be different. And then that, you know, comes along with the NFL draft. And then you got to figure out what to do there. So I don't know. I want a full uninterrupted football season. That's what I want. I don't want to watch a game in September and get all jacked for college football. And then the next week they say, we're not going to play for a couple of weeks. We're going to cancel our non-conference games. And then we'll pick it back up in a couple of weeks if we can. I want an uninterrupted season. And if that means spring football, then that means spring football. And maybe then the NFL could move some of their days and play on Saturdays if they're still going to go all systems go. Look, I love the fall. The fall's my favorite season. The fall's the best. I hate summer. It's so gross out right now. Winter is trash. I'm tired of snow. I mean, I check the forecast for snow like I'm a 90-year-old with nothing else to do. No offense. But that's all I do. Hey, honey, it's going to snow again, 2 to 3 inches, maybe even six. She's like, great. What is it? Who cares? It's the winter. You live in Wisconsin. But I'm like a hawk when it comes. I've got the Farmer's Almanac for 2024 already, just to determine. And my grandma tells me this. If it's foggy, if it's ever a foggy day, keep track of that. Because I think it's 90 days out, there'll be a big snowstorm. That's what she tells me. It's a lot of times it works. A lot of times it works. She always tells me that. 90 days out, big snowstorm. A lot of times it works. But the winter's trash. Spring, I don't even think spring exists anymore. We just go from like winter to winter and then summer. I don't know. I hate them all.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now in the studio. I miss hoodie season. You know, I'd rather be cold than too warm.
Oh, I love hoodie season. Marquez Valdes-Scantling tweeted the other day. He's like, I will always wear a hoodie. I don't care if it's 100 degrees.
Yeah.
He loves hoodies. I love sweatpants.
Oh, yeah.
I wore shorts today only because the sweatpants. So I've got like 7 pairs of sweatpants.
Yeah.
But then if I come into work, I'll just throw them in the wash. So the sweatpants that I was down to, they were very comfy, but Packer sweatpants. And I didn't want to be embarrassed.
Have you introduced sweat shorts into your life?
Sweat shorts I don't know of.
Oh, I got them on now, dude. They're life-changing.
Let me see.
Imagine. Well, hold on. I got to stand up real quick.
Yeah, walk away from where you are. Just come. Leave. Sam's in a different room than I am, so I'm going to make him leave that room away from his microphone so I can see them. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Who makes them? Champion? Okay. I could go with some sweat shorts, but I like the whole leg covered. I like that.
No, I get it, but I mean, it's the same comfort, you know, as your regular sweatpants. Hmm. You can just breathe more a little bit.
Life-changing.
Really, they really are. I don't think I'll ever buy another pair of like khaki shorts or golf shorts. I don't have any more that fit me, so I just replaced them all with sweat shorts or basketball shorts.
I think in the year 2020, I have, like, I'm going to say real pants include golf shorts, khaki shorts, jeans, dress pants. I would say in the year 2020, I have worn real pants or shorts 7 days of the year. Because even before the shutdown and stuff, I was showing up to work in shorts.
Oh, I know.
Sweats. I mean, I just roll out of bed and come to work now. I used to shower before I came here.
Right.
Nah. What's the point? I shower when I get home.
Like one pair of black jeans, and then that's it. I'm not wearing like blue denim or, you know, corporate khakis or stuff like that anymore. Unless I absolutely have to, which I don't see.
I don't think I've worn dress pants once this year.
It's one of the big reasons why I wanted to do radio. You know?
I got this pair of jeans that feel like sweatpants, so I wear those sometimes. But now they have like 13 holes in them, and then you know there's a hole in the butt where the wallet was. So that's
right.
Those are just kind of like home jeans. But yeah, I hate dressing up. My wife asked me the other day, what if you had to do like a 9 to 5? Because not only would your hours be different, you'd have to like
wear clothes.
I know, right? Imagine having to like actually wear like dress clothes and a tie just to sit in front of a computer every day.
Oh, imagine having to wear a polo and jeans. I can't even get into that, a polo and jeans. But I do think I have not cut my hair since probably February. I think I'm buzzing it today.
That's a good idea.
I think I'm, it's out of whack. I think I'm going to buzz it today, but we'll see. We'll see if I have time. I got a lot going on today. I got the tournament to watch. I got Premier League to watch. I got MLS to watch. So we'll see. We'll see if I have time to do that. I do want to talk more about spring football, if it's something that you can get into, because for whatever reason, it just feels like whenever football happens in the spring, you know, I'll bring up Freems. He used to say this. He says, yeah, it's football. It's got to be in the fall. I go, that's so dumb. Just like it when it's happening. But he might be right. It's a more of a fall thing. I just don't think people get into football in the spring. I think just like you might have a harder time getting into baseball in the winter or basketball now in the late summer and into the fall. So we'll talk more about spring football. Do want to hear from Brooke Lopez and Keston Hira, Bucks and Brewers respectively. They've got a lot to say about their situation, so we'll check in with them and much, much more. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 414-799-1250. You can call us there. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. We are here also on the radio.com app, free to download, free to use as well. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz on the 105.7 FM The Fan, 1250 on the AM everywhere on the radio.com app. It is free to download, free to use, free to find podcasts. You can relive how bad I've been at trivia the last 3 months. Paul Emmett going to join us tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. Evan Heffelfinger will be by, one of our producers. Sam Schmitz, who is undefeated in our cameo challenge we do on Tuesdays. You will be pinch hitting for Horvat. This will be your first taste of trivia. I have no idea how good you're going to do.
It's going to really depend. If I have to dig deep into like some 80s and 90s stuff, I'm going to struggle.
What would your strong points be?
What would my make or take it be?
Yeah.
Oh, probably like Packers football or Brewers baseball. If it's Bucks.
But like history or recent?
Oh, recent, yeah.
Yeah,
I know some history, but like I couldn't name like the entire 1982 Packers team or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I shoot myself in the foot a lot during this game.
I've heard.
It's almost as if I'm doing it on purpose to let the other guys shine.
Right.
But no one will ever see it that way. They'll just say that I don't know anything about sports and I suck, which is also true. But, you know, both things can be true. So trivia tomorrow, Paul Emig will come by around 8 o'clock and do that. Evan's a heavyweight, though. He's won like 5 of 6. So he's going to be tough to beat. And if you don't beat me, that's a real embarrassment.
And he doesn't use a computer.
He doesn't use a computer. Horvat has not been doing well since I've come back into the studio.
I've noticed.
Which affirms he's cheating. I know he is. I absolutely know he is. So we'll do trivia tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Also tomorrow at 9:05, Kevin Payne, a Thursday guest throughout our football season to talk fantasy. I need to talk to him about fantasy baseball because a lot of the people that I'm doing leagues with don't want to do a league anymore. One of my leagues drafted, and I've been very like, we drafted, I planned for a delay, so I stacked hitters and didn't take pitchers because I don't think they're going to be as important, and I've been very against a redraft, but I'm starting to think if you did do a fantasy draft, you almost have to do a redraft because now you got guys like that are sitting out. I mean, you don't plan for that. What if Mike Trout ends up sitting out? He's the number one pick.
Well, come on. Nobody had Felix Hernandez, Ian Desmond, maybe Markakis. He had a good season last year.
But I always take Markakis. He's one of my guys.
Outside of him, though, like none of those guys should really be on your roster.
David Price.
Yeah, David Price, maybe.
Ryan Zimmerman. No, he's got here. He didn't play much.
Really, just Markakis.
But then like a guy like Freddie Freeman, when's he going to recover? Now Juan Soto's quarantining?
Yeah.
And I think everyone, you know, well, what if there's not a season? Well, then just refund the money back or play a roto league where you don't do head to head and whoever heads the most points in the season's canceled. You know, just play for $25. Well, why don't you want to play? It keeps you engaged. Hell, I've been playing fantasy NASCAR and UFC. And God, I think I'm the only radio guy in the world talking about drone racing leagues which I watch each and every week on NBC Sports Network. And Amari won again. So, a little heads up tip for you guys that want to think about that. Got this in the Wendy's email inbox. This one is from Mark. He says, "Hey, Bart, love the show. Is Sam going to be in the rest of the week?" As a matter of fact, he is. He will be here filling in for Horvat, who will be back next week. Tim Allen, actually, in on Friday. Mark continues and says, "Heard you talking about spring football. I just think that football is fall. I tried to get into the XFL. I didn't like it too much. I even tried to get into the USFL back in the day, but couldn't get into that either. I know there's been other leagues like the NFL Europe and the American League of whatever it was a couple of years ago, but I just can't get into it. Spring means spring. It's time for baseball and grilling, and football is just not something that I am accustomed to in the spring. Love the show. Keep up the good work. As always, Mark." Thank you, Mark, for writing such a well-thought-out email and sending it to us live at 105.7 FM, thefan.com. I think if the Ivy League, because this is the decision that a lot of people are going to look at today, is the Ivy League going to move to the spring? And if they are, if they're going to move their football to the spring, will it just be a matter of time before other conferences follow? There's already been a blueprint for this. We're in a time where there hasn't been a lot of blueprints for any of this. But in March, the Ivy League was having their tournament, and they postponed it. They were the first to cancel, and then every other domino ended up falling after that. So maybe history repeats itself with the Ivy League being the first one. If there is spring football, it is different, but I would certainly get into it. I know that, you know, part of why I love fall so much is football. You know, when it's like 45 degrees right away in the morning and it's chilly and, you know, it's overcast skies and the leaves are falling, and then you turn on College Game Day and maybe crack a little morning beer. Maybe not. I love that. I love fall. If I could find a place where it was fall every day, I would try to move there. Maybe I just should, like Oregon or whatever. Right. You can do the show from home anywhere now. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, you get up at 4 a.m, I guess, if I'm going to be on the air here at 6, but who cares? I hate this weather. I don't know how anyone can. It's not even that hot. It's brutal. And then when it gets cold, I mean, it's awful. I just need it to be 55 degrees.
Yeah, I prefer like 35.
Oh, you're even colder?
Yeah. You know, more layers.
No, I've never talked to anyone colder than me.
Well, you know, if it gets like, you know, 20 degrees and all that, really chilly, then nah, I'm good. But
35.
Keep it in that pocket, 35, 45. That's the pocket we want to be in.
I like the 55-62 pocket.
Nah, it's too warm.
Where you can still wear a sweatshirt, but you could also get away with a t-shirt. Too warm, 55. Do you like the sun?
No.
I hate the sun.
I mean, hey man, I've been working in Milwaukee bars for like the last 5 years. I'm used to just being up to like 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm used to not seeing the sun, basically.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I hate the sun. I hate when it looks at me with its big fat eyes.
What a jerk.
I hate it. I hate the sun. I love clouds. If I never saw the sun again, vitamin D, I've always said, is my least favorite vitamin. I hate it. Vitamin C is my favorite. Not the actual vitamin, but the singer. Vitamin D sucks. Yeah, I hate the sun. I think that, you know, it would be different, though. You're having football in the spring. I wonder how that would work then with the NFL draft. And then let's say you're a senior and you play in the spring and you get drafted. And then you get no time off. You got to go to training camp right away. Because I'm thinking if anything goes to the spring, it would be college football, but not the NFL.
Would there even be a combine?
How could there be?
Right.
No combine.
I mean, not that you really need a combine, to be honest.
In the NFL, you know, the draft, they had less visits. So they're used to some sort of change now already. Yeah, it would be different. Maybe you do the draft in July. I don't know. Everything's different. The timing on a lot of stuff is different. We're probably going to get the announcement today that the Ryder Cup is set to be postponed. Should still be at Whistling Straits next year, but will be postponed until 2021, because what's that event without fans? The Memorial Tournament this weekend in golf was supposed to have fans. They're going to allow up to 8,000 people. They're not doing that anymore. So they just made that decision within the last week. But yeah, I wonder what spring football would look like. I don't think we'll get the NFL in the spring. I think somehow, some way the NFL will happen. College, though, college is a different beast because these guys aren't pros. And then if you're university, there's just so many more people making decisions. It's not just Roger Goodell making the decision. It's the university chancellors and the athletic directors and the commissioners of the conferences. So many more people are making decisions where you could maybe you'll see a college football season with 50 teams. Half the Pac-12 doesn't play, half the Big 12 doesn't play, all of the SEC plays, you know that. Maybe some of the Big 10 doesn't play. I don't know. It's going to be very crazy. We're expecting sports to start within the next few weeks, and that's good. Baseball, basketball, hockey even. But football is as up in the air as it's ever been. They had the luxury of time, and they have that no more. So it will be interesting to see how that does play out. Bart Winkler along with Sam Schmitz today here on The Fan. Want to remind you about our friends at Windows Select. Own a home now for the last 7 years. You know, even if you own the home for a day, there is an immense pride you get in taking care of that home and making sure it's as cozy as can be. And I want it to pop a little bit on the curb appeal, too. I want people to drive by that home and say, I wish I lived in that house. Well, I know they say that when they see the windows, and that's what Windows Select will do. Upgrade your windows, replace your siding, replace your doors. If you've got needs on the exterior of your home, they can help you out. Their products are high quality and energy efficient. They're going to lower some of the cost, whether it's Sam's 35 degrees or our hated anything above 68. They will make sure that your cost to heat and cool the home are lower because the windows will be better. They'll be able to keep that air in your home. High quality, energy efficient, and a double lifetime warranty the products come with. Double lifetime warranty. One of the best warranties in the entire industry. I don't think I've mentioned this deal yet. Buy one, get one on the windows. That's the headline. Buy one, get one on the windows. Buy one, get one free. Let me just reiterate that. Buy one, get one free on the windows. So you need 8 windows, you're paying for 4. That is an incredible deal. They'll come on by. They'll do the free consultation with you. They'll let you know what you need. And then when you do purchase the windows, you're only paying for half. And you don't have to pay them until 2021. So they're really making sure that you can upgrade your home now. And then, you know, figure out, juggle the finances or just figure out how you want to pay them. But you don't have to do that till 2021. 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Check out their website, windowselect.com. 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. The NFLPA has filed their paperwork with the Department of Labor. Bart, what are you talking about? Jeez, snooze. I'm getting somewhere. They have the top 10 earners when it comes to endorsements, royalties, and marketing. So think about the NFL right now. Think about the stars across this league. Try to think in your head, who's making the most money in jersey sales, endorsements, advertising? Do you have a name? Here's the top 10. Baker Mayfield. He's on those commercials where he, like, cleans up the stadium. So, yeah, which is obviously a commercial for... I don't even remember.
I don't even know.
I know the commercials. I don't know who. Baker Mayfield's the 10th biggest earner when it comes to marketing and endorsements in the NFL. Number 9 is Todd Gurley. All right. Do you have a guess? Who's your guess for number 1, by the way? Number 1 biggest earner off the field. Royalties, endorsements, jerseys.
I was going to say Mahomes, but I feel like he's still... Oh, I see him in a bunch of... Man.
He's in a lot.
I guess I'm going to go with Mahomes. I can't really think of anybody right off the top of my head right now.
All right. 10 is Baker. 9 is Gurley. Aaron Rodgers comes in at 8. Kyler Murray already comes in at 7. Juju Smith-Schuster finds himself at 6. Saquon Barkley, 5. Dak Prescott, 4. Number 3. Again, these are the NFL's biggest earners when it comes to guys that have endorsements, get a cut from jersey sales, otherwise royalties. Patrick Mahomes is 3. Tom Brady is 2. Number 1, the guy don't even play no more. Peyton Manning. He's still the biggest. He earns $3.3 million off the field. Tom Brady's just at $3 million. Mahomes is $2.7 million. But Peyton Manning is still, I mean, is he the most likable athlete in NFL or like the history of the world?
As far as I know, I mean, that I still quote that SNL skit like almost every year.
And that's really what catapulted him.
Right.
I mean, Peyton Manning, you watch his show Peyton's Places, if you've seen any of that. He's got a really good one with Brett Favre, and a lot of these were on ESPN+, but since there's nothing to watch sports-wise, the networks have shown a bunch of them, so maybe you caught one on TV, maybe even ABC on the weekends. He's just, he's funny, he's, you know, he'll self-depreciate, he's charming, he's just good at entertaining, and he's in all these commercials, and there's a new one with Brad Paisley still. He's like doing new commercials. Monday Night Football has been bending over backwards to try to get him in their booth for the last 3 years, and they haven't been able to. So good for Peyton. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it for a while because he didn't want to criticize Eli if that ever came up, but now he's retired. But he doesn't want to do it. He's good just being Peyton Manning, and it's really hard to dislike this guy. I can't think of another guy that... Like, you have to try to hate him. Like, somebody, yeah, I don't like that guy.
Well, same with Mahomes, too. I mean, how can you not like him?
Oh, yeah. You have to find ways to hate him.
What has he done wrong ever in his career so far? Sure, his brother's annoying.
Yeah, and his girlfriend's, you know, a little much.
Right.
but he's great. What does his brother do? I don't know his brother.
He makes I just see these when, like, you know, certain counts retweet him and all that. But apparently his brother is like a infamous TikToker.
Yeah, TikTok might be on the bye-bye.
Thank goodness.
They might shut that down.
Don't tell Evan though; he might be pretty disappointed.
What's he like looking at 15-year-old girls dance?
I don't know. I never downloaded it.
I don't have it. All that people do on there is dance. Young kids dance. How is that an app?
They literally ruin some of my favorite songs, too.
And how do people make money off of that?
I don't know.
These people are rich for dancing.
Right. Like, some of these girls who do TikTok videos, they'll have, like, more followers than some of these sports athletes combined. And I just don't... I've never heard of them.
Oh, I got called out, deservedly so. Jacob tweets in, can't believe Bart just said Peyton Manning is the most likable sports star ever when this guy plays in his own area code.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Peyton Manning is the second most likable player ever. That's a good correction.
I thought we were keeping it in the NFL.
I did say okay. All sports. Yeah, I really got... Because I was looking at a picture of Peyton Manning and I was just... It was like infatuating me for... I just like Peyton Manning. But yeah, Giannis 1, Peyton 2, Giannis 3.
Right.
And then it's a tie of 4 between Leroy Butler and Gary Ellerson.
Giannis should be on SNL.
Yeah, he should.
I feel like that'd be a good idea.
That is a good idea. Good job.
Thanks.
You've earned your check for the day.
Hey.
Sam Schmitz, Bart Winkler. We will hear from Keston Hira. We will hear from Brooke Lopez. Much more Brewers and Bucks on the way. Talking Wisconsin sports as we do every day on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.